So these patterns are not Buddhist. It's that, from at least in my view, Buddhism gives, perhaps, in my own exploration, it definitely gives the most clear and adequate description of that conditioned pattern within reality. What the tradition says, or what, in a way, this outline says, is that just as with the law of gravity, you need to understand the law, and then you can work with it. You can make it work for you, so to speak. If you want to throw something at somebody, you can calculate the degree of push you need to give to get it there, and so on. If you're trying to jump over something, you know, you automatically calculate what you need to overcome gravity, and so on. And you can see that for all the other laws. You can work with them. With karma, ethics, the precepts, are simply defining how you work with karma. They're guidelines as to how you work with karma, so that it works to your benefit. To your benefit and the benefit of others too, of course. So that the Dhamma Nima has its own conditioned laws, which are potentially working within you. They may work within you from time to time. You may have experiences that unfold that speak of something that's trans-individual, that goes beyond you as a mere individual. You may experience some touch of something beyond you. So it's an active possibility. It's interesting, it's difficult to know exactly how to talk about it, because in a way it transcends our language, which, you know, is mainly drawn from the physical world, to some extent from the world of instinct, and to some extent from the law of ethics. There's a pattern within life that's difficult to know how to talk about, because it goes beyond your individual experience, your experience as an individual, that belongs to a state of experience, a state of consciousness that is more than just you as a self-identified individual, and that has a certain sort of force to it. The experience that one gets, all the those who begin to experience it report, is that it seems as if something works in you, rather than that you do something. So the analogies that are often given are of, you know, something like that. There's a famous analogy that it's as if at the beginning of your spiritual life you have to sort of row yourself into the middle of the river, but then the stream carries you. So that your effort is at the level of the Kama Niyama. You have to self-consciously get yourself into the midst of the stream, and then the stream carries you. Of course, in classical Buddhism, you have the language of the stream entrant, who enters the stream. And the stream is the Dhamma Niyama. It's this current implicit within reality, this pattern of conditioning, this regularity, this range of possibility, that once you begin to touch upon it, works dynamically. You don't do it. It's more as if it does you. Of course, you know, we're right at the limits of language, and one of the things I'm going to have to explore tomorrow is a bit more how we have to talk about this, because we need to avoid two extremes. One extreme is of reductionism, where you fail to talk about it, and a lot of Western Buddhism, I think, does this. It talks in such humanistic terms that it misses the vast majesty and the extraordinary sort of power of this other dimension of conditionality. There's another danger, which is that you talk about it so familiarly and with such a sort of concrete fixity that you think you've understood it when you haven't. Fundamentally, it's a mystery. That is probably the most important thing to think about it, and where I'm going to leave you, because time is out. But the Dhamma Niyama is essentially a level of conditionality that is implicit in reality, that unfolds dynamically, which you as an individual can cooperate with, but which you cannot command, and which in the end defies our definition. And, you know, in the end, we must, in a sense, speak of as a mystery. So tomorrow, we'll poke a little bit further into the mystery and talk about how we get ourselves to the point of letting that mystery unfold within us. And I'll talk a little bit more about the, as it were, the philosophy of the Dhamma Niyama and what not to do and what we can do, if you certainly are talking about it.